This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Church family, happy Sabbath again. When I started the series, Come Jesus, Come, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. There are things happening to me and with me that are very heavy, very difficult to carry. Last Sabbath I was preaching here, and then I had to drive to Treetops Park, and on the road I was praying, Lord, what's the next message? I knew the passage, but I needed a message. And very interestingly, I was inundated by thoughts. I had to pull over, and I spent like 10 minutes writing an outline of my sermon, and then I turned the engine on again and went to the meeting. You know, in those moments of reflection, when I was convinced the Spirit was talking to me, I received a title that was pretty tough to accept. And the title is A Church That Is Not the Church. A Church That Is Not the Church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need your presence in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our mind, our understanding, to understand deeply what your words say. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen. As you may know, I grew up in a village out in the country. And in the village of my childhood, there were three churches. There was a Calvinist Reformed Church, a Protestant church. There was a Baptist church and a Seventh-day Adventist church. In the village, there were three ethnic groups. The majority population was Hungarian. Then there was a small Romanian minority. And there were two fast-growing gypsy colonies, one on one end and one on the other hand, end of the village. Now, Gypsies in Romania have a very tormented history. I don't know how much you know about Gypsies. But the word Gypsy seems to come from the word Egyptian. And obviously, Egypt and Egyptians were not Europeans. So there are all kind of theories and some debate with regard to the origin of gypsies. Some say they have multiple origins, but it seems that at least some of them have some Egyptian roots. How they got there, or if they are originally from there, it's hard to say. But in Romania, many of them were used as slaves. And history doesn't say too much about this, but there were times until the mid-19th century where 7 to 10% of the population of the two of the historic provinces that are today territories in Romania, 7 to 10% of the population were slaves, many of them gypsies. So then abolition came, and when slavery was abolished, many of these gypsies integrated into the majority population. Some of them did not integrate. They decided to go for a nomadic lifestyle for fear of not being enslaved again. So they would move from one place to another. They would try doing all kind of trades and ways of existence so they can survive. Then World War II came. And again, history is pretty silent. But during World War II, many of them were gathered and deported and executed. We know a lot about the extermination of Jews, but few people know that over 500,000 of gypsies were also exterminated by the Nazis. Those that survived, they decided to try to settle down. So many of them decided for a semi-nomadic, or they were forced into a semi-nomadic lifestyle where they had a colony somewhere, settled down, but then they also had to travel a lot so that they can survive. Why am I telling you this story? Let's go back to my village. In my village, the gypsies didn't belong to any of those churches. There were 3 churches in the village. And the Seventh-day Adventist church building was very close to one of the colonies on one end of the village, like only 10 houses away. We did evangelism quite often. There were times where we had evangelism every winter. And before evangelism started, public evangelism, we would go out and spread invitations. We invited the whole village. We never invited the gypsies. I only have one memory. When I was a child, I know there was a gypsy evangelist that came from another place, from a city. He knew my father. So he came to our house, and he asked my father, who used to play the accordion, and asked my father to join him and go with him to the gypsy colonies and do some mission work. That's all the memory I have with regard to evangelizing the gypsies. Then later, a Baptist missionary came, and he started working with the gypsies, and ironically, they bought the house of an Adventist that had passed away and transformed the house of the Seventh-day Adventist into a Baptist gypsy church. Later, something happened among them, and I was away from home already, I got to know that one of the rich gypsy families funded and founded another church, probably something like a Pentecostal church of gypsies. But Seventh-day Adventists, where are Seventh-day Adventists in this picture? In those days, in my childhood, the Seventh-day Adventist church was a small church, 20 members approximately, with children maybe up to 30. And when I was around 10 years old, my older brother, my eldest brother, and myself, we went to the city, the town church, because that was a larger church. They had very good youth program and intense music life. We were attracted and we went there, so we became part of their church. Now, something interesting happened to me in 2019. I went back to visit the town church where practically I grew up and became a Seventh-day Adventist member and got involved in ministry. So I was there, I preached Friday evening, Saturday morning, and it was interesting for me to notice that Saturday morning, all the members, almost all the members of the little country church, of the village church, were there. When we were going to the platform, because you know the traditional church setting where you go with a bunch of people to the platform and everybody has to do something, one of the brothers came to do the opening prayer, one of the brothers from the small country church, and I asked him, hey, brother, what's going on with the church in the village if you are all here? And he said, you know, we shut it down. Shut it down? Why have you shut it down? And he says, you know, unfortunately, the gypsies invaded us. I said, what? The gypsies invaded you? Now, what happened? This is what happened. All the empty houses that were left empty because people died and some people moved were bought by the gypsies. So now, all around the Seventh-day Adventist church building, you have gypsy families. And my Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters thought that was an issue. And they had to solve the issue. And they solved it. You know how? They shut the church down and left. I'm telling you this story because of other stories that you know. And you know, when you ask me today whether there has ever been a Seventh-day Adventist church in my village, I have a hard time to answer. I would say, yeah, maybe sometime in the past. But what I know for sure now, based on the Bible, is that maybe for the last decades, they only had a church that was not the church. Because if they had a church that was the church, they would still exist. They wouldn't have shut down and wouldn't have left. Because what is the church? The church, ecclesia, ecclesia in Greek. The church is people called out by God for a specific purpose. In those days, the ecclesia was a public gathering, people that were called out from their homes into a public place for a specific purpose. Jesus Christ established his church. He called out people from their homes, from where they were, into a public place, so to speak, and gave them a purpose. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, when you will receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, right there, right around you, and in Judea, right next to you, and in Samaria, right, the following territories, and then to the end of the world. Now, this is not my Bible verse. Let me go to my Bible verse. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And you have their ethnos, which means ethnic or ethnicity, to all the nations, and then the end will come. Please notice carefully what this passage says, because this passage explicitly speaks about the coming of Jesus Christ. When the end comes, Jesus Christ comes. So this is specifically about Jesus' coming. But please notice that it doesn't say when the gospel will be preached, then Jesus will come. Now, the gospel is being preached. Yes, all kind of people preach all kind of gospels, but the gospel is being preached. And the Bible doesn't say, and this gospel of the kingdom, yes, few people still preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, but the Bible doesn't say when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and Jesus will come. And the Bible doesn't say, and when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, then Jesus will come. Ever since I was a child, I remember all kind of statistics with regard to how the gospel penetrates new territories. So the gospel is being preached in all the world. So the Bible doesn't say, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then Jesus will come. No, no, no. This Bible verse says something very specific, something very disturbing. The Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And if this is true, then I have to ask you, brothers and sisters, tell me, will Jesus ever come? Because the Bible says, yes, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So will then the end ever come? Will Jesus ever come? Because the gospel has to be preached to all the nations as a witness. And please notice, this is not a witness against them. This is a witness for their salvation. I heard preachers preach that, yes, the reason why the gospel has to be preached so that in the day of judgment, the gospel can turn against them and blame them and accuse them and judge them and condemn them. No, no, no. That's not the primary reason why the gospel has to be preached. The gospel is to be preached for salvation. And if you go to the book of Revelation, let's just go through some verses in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they, the 24 elders, sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Question is, how did these people get there? Well, there's a very simple answer in our core message, the three angels' message, because the three angels' message in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 starts out like this. Then I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. To what? To who? To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And when you go to the end of the book of Revelation, to the climax of the plan of salvation, when the New Jerusalem comes down with the people saved inside, and those outside of New Jerusalem, they storm the capital city. There are people of all nations outside, and there are people of all the nations inside. What made the difference between one category and the other category? I would say it's quite possibly that some of those from all the nations that are inside the city would have missed the opportunity to be in the city if they had not heard the gospel. And some of those that are outside, they would have been inside the city had they heard the gospel. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, when it speaks about the tree of life and the nation sitting under the tree of life, it says that the leaves of the tree of life were for the healing of the nations. Yes, the gospel is to be preached to all the nations, not for their condemnation. but for their salvation. And that's a powerful change of paradigm. When you look at what Jesus says here, is when this will happen, he says, then I'm gonna come. So Jesus, are you gonna come? Of course, the gospel is not limited to its preaching. There are all kinds of other things that belong to the gospel. Doing good, helping the poor, feeding the homeless, everything belongs to the gospel. But preaching is indispensable to the gospel. And so that you cannot say, yeah, Pastor Joe, because you like preaching and because that's your passion, then you will, of course, you will emphasize preaching. No, let me go to the Bible. And let somebody that is named or known in Christianity as being the greatest preachers of the nations. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher of the nations. But then the other guy is who? The Apostle Paul. This is how he explains in Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the purpose of the gospel. But then he has some questions. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? Without a preacher. Why is a preacher needed? Well, simply because, verse 17 says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is a preacher that has to come to preach the gospel. And you and I, we are called to be preachers. Now, some of you are not able to be on the platform and articulate phrases and convey a message, deliver a sermon. But overall, as a church, we are called to be preachers. Why? Because Jesus says when the gospel is going to be preached, proclaimed, keruzo in the Greek, proclaimed to all the nations, then I'm coming. So Jesus, when are you coming? Hey, I told you when. When the gospel is going to be preached to all, as a witness to all the nations. Never in the history of Christianity have we experienced a pandemic of preaching like during COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, if you are blaming COVID-19, well, take this good side of it. The pandemic of preaching, like never before. God is ironic, I think. He has humor. He says, okay, you don't want to take the gospel to all the nations as a witness for their salvation? I'm going to shut down your churches. And you will be forced to preach online so that the gospel can go everywhere in all the world to all the nations. And then what did we do? Well, we started preaching all kinds of gospels. The problem is only one gospel is the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and few preachers today take the risk of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, of course, even fewer take the risk of preaching the gospel of the kingdom as a witness, because that's a radical difference. But let me ask you, does anybody preach the gospel today? The gospel of the kingdom in all the world as a witness to all the nations? And that's a very critical question. Right here in the United States, there are majority white churches that preach the gospel to sound in a way as if it were only for white people. Right here in the United States, there are majority black churches that preach the gospel and make it sound as if the gospel were only for black people. And all these churches use the same English language. More than that, here in the United States, there are second-generation Hispanic churches that use English in their liturgy, that make the gospel sound in a way as if the gospel was only for second generation Hispanic people. You get where the problem is? Yes. Let me just speak briefly about Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church. Please listen to your pastor as a church family, as an ecclesia, as a church called by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. This church started out decades ago as a majority white church in a predominantly white neighborhood. Of course, because the gospel is for all the nations started coming. And this church has become a multicultural, multi-ethnic church. But at the same time, it has become obvious that the white population was receding. And now we could spend time on discussing why people left. Some died, and some left. But the problem is, the challenge that I'm facing is, when I look into the gospel tells me, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus, when are you coming? I'm telling you when. When the gospel will be preached to all the nations. And it's pretty clear that in America, Christianity is receding the most speedily among the Caucasian segment of the population. And yet, that segment of the population, including our immediate neighborhood, has to hear the gospel because they belong to all nations. So then my question is, okay, and you may ask me, Pastor Joe, okay, you're a white guy that happens to be in this context. Good for you. But how is a black preacher going to reach the immediate white neighborhood and any kind of white people? Because there's so much turmoil, there's so much prejudice, there's so much injustice, there's so much pain there. And please, I understand human nature to some degree. I can empathize with pain. But let's not allow history and the pain of it to get in the way of the gospel. Because the question is not if you or I can reach somebody. The question is the gospel able to reach people? It's Black History Month. And it is appropriate, I believe, to remember great names. But I would like to remember great names from African descent that brought the gospel to all the nations. And I will mention three of them. Not that there are only three, but those three people spoke into my heart when I had no idea one day I will come to America, and I had no idea one day I will preach the gospel in a multicultural, multi-ethnic setting. The first is C.D. Brooks. C.D. Brooks. I heard him when I was a child, and I tried to remember when did I first hear him. And I remembered it was a Q&A session. He was famous about giving answers. And I thought first it was Net 69. I checked, it was not. But I know in that video he appeared on one of the screens there because he did evangelism and he was highlighted as one of the great preachers. So that's why his picture was in my mind connected to Net 96. I don't know exactly in what context, but I heard him answer questions. I'm telling you, the way he answered questions, he was preaching. He was proclaiming the gospel. And it was obvious to me, the white little boy that had nothing to do with multiculturalism and multi-ethnicity at that time, it was obvious to me that the gospel was the gospel of the kingdom, and it was preached as a witness for me as well. And if you know him, or if you've heard about him, or if not, you can check him out, you will understand what I'm talking about. Let me mention another name, Walter Pearson. I literally stumbled upon him on YouTube, at the beginning of YouTube, back in my little country, as a beginner pastor, trying to see who's doing what in this world. I stumbled upon this big guy with a big mouth and with a sense of humor like nobody else, preaching the gospel. And I knew, because nobody forced me to watch him, but the way he spoke made me knew the gospel was for me. The gospel of the kingdom as a witness for me. And you may say, okay, but both of these were televangelists. They were trained for that, and absolutely, they were. I'm going to mention somebody else. I didn't know this guy. I got to know about him when I came here almost 8 years ago in a certain context. Somebody mentioned his name, and I was ashamed I didn't know anything about him. E.E. Cleveland. Okay? And I went on YouTube to see who the guy is, and randomly came up one of his sermons. The first sermon that I saw, and I clicked on it. I still know the title of the sermon. The title of the sermon was "The Stubborn Day That Won't Go Away." It's a sermon about Sabbath. It's preached to a black congregation, camp meeting or Oakwood University, I don't know, I don't recognize the place. And it's preached in a specific genre, in a specific cultural context. But because of the gospel, I knew the gospel was for me. And to this day, and this is years ago, I still know exactly the title, and I could recreate almost his outline. Because there was something about the gospel of the kingdom being preached as a witness to all the nations. And dear preachers, let me speak to you. I understand there are preaching styles. I understand there are gifts, giftedness. I also understand there is preaching genre. I understand there is preaching cultures. Wonderful. But I want to commit something to you from this passage. Because the passage says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. That you should never reach the platform without bearing in mind that the gospel of the kingdom you are preaching as a witness for the whole world is to be preached to all the nations. And this is critical to understand. And you may say, yeah, Pastor, but it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses me and uses me the way I... Listen, if you want to convince me the Holy Spirit has a different agenda and something else on his heart than preaching the gospel of the kingdom in all the world as a witness to all the nations, then yes, I will say, okay, you just go with your giftedness, with your personality. Yes, the Holy Spirit will take over. Look at Acts chapter 2 and see that the first prominent experience of the church with the Holy Spirit was a multi-ethnic, multicultural evangelism, where the Holy Spirit moved the gospel to a whole another level that is impossible, humanly speaking. Why? Because the Holy Spirit himself wants to preach the gospel of the kingdom into the whole world as a witness to all the nations. So then, I have to speak to myself and tell myself, Pastor Joe, You're a Romanian guy, and as a Romanian pastor, if you preach the gospel and make it sound as if the gospel was for Romanians only, you're not preaching the gospel. Not the gospel of the kingdom. You may be preaching another gospel, and there are all kinds of gospels, but I was called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And I have to tell you, if you are a Cuban pastor, called to preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel and make it sound as if the gospel was only for Cubans, you're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You're preaching a gospel. Your business. But that's not the gospel of the kingdom. If you're a Jamaican pastor, and you were called by God to preach the gospel, a Jamaican preacher, and you make the gospel sound as if the gospel was only for Jamaicans, you're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You're preaching a good gospel for something, but you were called to preach the gospel of the kingdom. If you're a Haitian pastor, and you were called, or a Haitian preacher, and you were called to preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel and make it sound as if the gospel was only for Haitians, well, let me tell you what. You may be preaching a gospel, but you are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And let me bring it home to Americans, born Americans. If you are a white American, born in America, and you make the gospel sound as if the gospel was only for white Americans, that's not the gospel. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It may be a gospel, some political gospel, but that's not the gospel of the kingdom. If you are an African American, born in America, and you preach the gospel, and you make the gospel sound as if the gospel was only for African Americans, well, let me tell you, that's not the gospel. That may be a gospel, a political gospel, or who knows what kind of gospel, but that's not the gospel of the kingdom. If you are a Hispanic American, born in America, and you preach the gospel and make it sound as if the gospel was only for Hispanic Americans born in America, that is not the gospel. That may be a political gospel, something that sounds good, but that is not the gospel of the kingdom. If you are a native American, of course, born in America, and you preach the gospel, and you make the gospel sound as if the gospel was only for Native Americans, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that is not the gospel of the kingdom. It may be a beautiful, well-sounding gospel, but that's not the gospel of the kingdom. And yes, I left many people out. I cannot say the whole list. But the point is, if you preach the gospel and make the gospel sound as if the gospel was only for somebody's, only for a specific group of people, maybe for your group of people, that is not the gospel of the kingdom. And if you are a church that preaches the gospel in a way that it's made to sound as if that gospel is only for those that are part of the church already, and nobody else has to be part of the witnessing of the gospel, or the gospel is done to witness against them, I have to disappoint you. You are a church that is not the church. Because the mission of the church is this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus says, do you want me to tell you when I'm coming? This is when I'm coming. And I know you may feel heavy right now, Because we all have sensitivities and we all feel like our ethnic group has to be approached by the gospel, and we want to focus on our ethnic group, and our heart breaks for our ethnic group. Let me go back to the great preacher of the nations, the Apostle Paul. And he will tell us how he feels about his Jew compatriots. Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. For I could wish that I myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren. He wants to be anathema for his brethren, for his countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Yeah, I want to be cursed just to make sure I can do something for their salvation. But at the same time, the same guy says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 and onward, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may win Jews. To these who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might, what? Win those who are without law. And then verse 22 says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Why do I do this? Verse 23. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. With you. With you. Isn't the gospel beautiful? The gospel that was so many times discarded, distorted. Because instead of bringing the gospel of the kingdom, to all the world, as a witness to all the nations, we turned the gospel into something that sounds good to some people, but sounds awful to some other people. When in fact Jesus said, when I will be lifted up, when I will be lifted up, guess what? I will draw to me everybody, all the nations. This is why I'm here. And this message of the gospel has been a huge blessing to my soul. You know, when I came to the United States almost 8 years ago, I started out ministering, pastoring a small ethnic Romanian church in Hollywood. And I was praying to the Lord, Lord, give me a larger territory. You've given me gifts. You've created my brain in a certain way. And I know you're ahead of the game. You have plans. But show me what your plan for me is. And after a while, the call came to come to Plantation, to do ministry here with you, my brothers and sisters, a multi-ethnic and multicultural ministry. I was told before I came here, I was told there are 60 plus ethnic groups there, and that church is a huge platform. It's a great platform where the gospel can be preached, the gospel of the kingdom. It can go into all the world as a witness for the salvation of all the nations. And I said, yes, I'm going, Lord. I feel like it's too much for me now, but I'm going because that's what I learned from the Bible. And I came here and we were planning, we were working together. We created all kind of forecasts, and we centered around core values. And one of the core values of Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church has always been, at least in theory, multi-ethnic and multicultural ministry. we want to speak to all the nations. Yes, we use English language, but we want to use English language in a way that, can reach people, because you can use, and that's a reality, you can use the same English language and employ a jargon that nobody else will be able to, get. And then where is communication? So we really strive to do the ministry of the gospel and reach all the nations. And then COVID came, and, we were forced into the online. And, we were thinking, okay, so now what? And we had to continue being in the online. And, interestingly, right after COVID hit, I was called and I was asked by the largest Romanian church here in the United States if I would go and pastor that Romanian church in Georgia. And I had to think about it, but I couldn't say yes. It wasn't very difficult. It was somewhat difficult, but it wasn't that difficult to say no, because I knew my giftedness and, my way of looking at reality is multicultural and multi-ethnic ministry. So now, how can I go back and, preach in Romanian in a country where most of the people understand English? They said no. And then there came another wave of pain and suffering, racism, the tensions that were there in the subsiding reality, but then it bubbled up. And, my church family was in pain, and a lament was happening all over the place. And I have to tell you, I heard things that I have never imagined, could be said. And, I said, Lord, what is this now? And then the fall came, and guess what? They came back to me, as if God was testing me. Okay, so are you sure you still want to do multi-ethnic and multicultural ministry? And this time, I'm telling you, it was very, very hard. Because I said, okay, Lord, so now what? This is the second time. Are you testing me, or I really should go in that direction? But I could not make that decision. I couldn't say yes. Why? Because my mind was going constantly back to the same reality. Yeah, we are the church. The church called out by Jesus Christ for a purpose. The church that was employed by Jesus Christ for a mission. And what is your mission? Jesus, when are you coming back? And Jesus tells me, when the gospel is going to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. All the nations. And I said again, no. And here I am. Here I am testifying to you that the Lord is calling us to continue ministering, to continue preaching the gospel in all the world as a witness to all the nations. When I came here, I've been to a makeover. And one of the makeovers was that the very traditional looking guy with a suit and tie changed into a more snazzy, or, somebody would say jazzy, preacher. I put on some, color. Why? Because I came here and I looked around and I said, oh, the younger generation, when they see somebody dressed up with a tie and a suit, they may immediately feel a distance. I don't want to give anybody the impression that the gospel is about a tie and suit. I want to make sure the gospel is for everybody as a witness for salvation. And yes, I'm looking at Pastor Kevin. He just came here, and he already looks like somebody interested in reaching out to the younger generation. Because we often assume that just because we can see them in the church, they are fine. They are in the church. They are with Jesus Christ. Now guess what? The Lord because he has a sense of humor, he took that away too. And now we see what's happening. And yes, we are here to witness. We are here to testify about his love to every single human being. So, my preachers, this is what I want to tell you. If you were called to preach, please know that Jesus Christ says, the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Because that's when he is going to come. So if you want to be a preacher, that's what and that's how you are asked to preach. And let me speak to the church by and large. We have been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom, in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Otherwise, we are a church that is not the church. So I beseech you, I appeal to your hearts. I talk to myself and I talk to you. Let us be a church that is the church by his grace. Amen.
I will bless the Lord for
Heavenly Father, we are here dedicating ourselves to you. You've called us to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And we are here to do that. We pray that you will empower us and you will give us all the means as preachers of your word so that we will make it sound. The gospel of the kingdom will come across to people as being indeed a witness to all the nations around the world. That's our desire, in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.